CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Friday's here, and you are almost at another weekend. It's like Pumi said yesterday, just a few days to go. I'm never going to realize the end of the year is here. I hate saying it because I know it irritates people, but it's the truth. All righty, let's do this. Let's get this show on the road. There's lots to do this morning. Leanne just joined us a moment ago, and then she realized she couldn't hear us in stereo. She could only hear us in mono. Like it's, what, the year 1800 or something in Bulela. Oh, God, Jesus. Leanne. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Jeez. Like, I realized this week, it's... Next week's a short week, right? So we've got Monday, we're going to be doing the show, but everybody else got Monday off for voting. And I jokingly asked Pumi and Canton yesterday, what do you think the best time will be to vote? When do you think the queues will be at their lowest? And they both just laughed and said there will be no queues. So I don't know about that, though. I suppose it depends on what your ward looks like. If your ward is one of those that is, like, you know, where people are really, what's the word? They're desperate to go and vote. They're very enthusiastic. There are a lot of Karens in your neighborhood. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Then I think you might just have some areas of queues. But I think I'm going to go in the late afternoon. I think that's probably the best time to go. By then it's started to peter out. People aren't – all the enthusiastic ones have gone early. Does anybody know, by the way, anybody know while we're waiting for Leanne, what time the polls close? On Friday.
From what I read, it's 6 o'clock. Now, I don't know if that's bad intel, but I also looked at it because we obviously doing this show and the MKT show on that day.
Hmm.
So I was just checking, but I think it's 6.
Yes,
6 p.m.
I have to raise an issue with you that was brought up by one of your listeners and one of your fans on the sports show that you do, MKT show. Someone said you didn't start at the right time yesterday. This is very unprofessional. Apparently, you start your show at bizarre times. You know, they said even this show, which occasionally may be a minute or two late, but we always start at 6 and we end at 8, and that's very reliable. And they want to know why someone like you, who would give Simpiwe so much shit for being a few minutes late or whatever, can't even start your own show on time. Ha! Huh. How do you like that? How do you respond to those allegations? Huh?
due to those heinous allegations, derogatory, derisory.
Please don't blame Eskom. Please don't blame Eskom. I will not take it.
No, listen, here's the thing, is the way we record our show is if load shedding comes, the way it's set up now, the studio we're building doesn't have a UPS.
Oh,
if when load shedding comes for us, we lose the entire show as well, and it blows out our hard drives, our storage. So
we
actually can't afford to record during load shedding.
Well,
when it's going to happen.
Can I suggest then that what you do is you release the show at like 5 in the afternoon, gives you the whole day to make sure, and then every day people will expect it at 5 in the afternoon or something.
No. Actually, we're in conversations. The correct solution is get UPS and be on time. Get a UPS and not.
Well, I've noticed like...
So that's where I'm driving.
I've been talking to a lot of people about all this load shedding we've had in the last few days. And people are a lot of equipment is being damaged. This is the thing that nobody talks about. You know, we've discussed it maybe once. We always complain, oh, the power's off. But the fact is, sorry, that's exactly what it sounds like. Power's off. That's what it sounds like. But the truth is, a lot of stuff gets fucked up by this. You know, a lot of equipment, computer equipment is severely impeded in its function by all of this. And people...
But it's like life, Gareth, isn't it?
I know.
It's like life because, you know, I always say this, everything matters. This is what happens when an inefficiency here will affect you down the road. Everything matters. Listen, nothing is everything, but everything is something. Everything matters. This is what happens.
Yeah.
Bad power. oh no, power surges.
There's a cascade.
There'll be other knock-on effects.
Yeah, correct.
It is. A concatenation if you're in programming.
Oh, there we go. A concatenation. That is some excellent, that verbiage of the highest order this morning. I like that a lot. All right, so if you're wondering where
I was reading my ANC docket this morning.
Yes, did they give it? They don't have words like that in the ANC docket, trust me.
Have you heard them before? In honorable members, we are conglomerating in order to be soliciting.
No, the only time they use those words is when it's Gwede Mantashe or it's Pravin Gordhan, who, by the way, the both of them contradicted each other yesterday in two separate press conferences. They're such idiots. But they're the ones who use those words, and they use those words when they are when they're confused, when they want to confuse you, so they confuse you by using words that they're confused by. Does that make sense?
And you know, it makes absolute sense. You know who will not be confused?
No.
By the way. Honorable Matisha. Honorable Matisha.
William
do you remember when he said to them, no. So there's too much hong here.
Hong, hong.
Some of us, we don't know English. Mm. Yeah, the hong.
That was when Naledi Pandor was speaking, because she always sounds like she's she's highfalutin just because of her accent, and then that confuses dumb people, and she's by no means she's not special, she's not smarter necessarily than anyone else, but she sounds smarter, and for some people that's enough to convince them that she's smarter. Now, you can sometimes get away with that shit if you're trying to fool some people. And Willie Madisha, I don't think is very difficult to fool. I'm just saying. I don't think he's a particularly complicated cat, that. All right. So I saw a very funny thing to do with load shedding that I want to share with you in a second. And we don't have Ben here this morning. If anyone's wondering where Ben is, Ben is absconded. He's got some early golf game or something he has to do. But, you know, that to him is a viable excuse. If I used that excuse to not be on the show, you'd lose it with me. Hello, Leanne Merrill. How are you?
Oh, my God.
Are you not hearing us in stereo?
I've had such technical issues this morning. My Lord.
It's just to explain in that voice the conversation you and Bulele
had. I could only hear in one ear. Oh, no, now it's done it again.
Oh, no.
Now it's better.
Then it's a connection on your side. It's one of those little the cables.
Oh. Okay, I've just realized. Wait.
Okay, just talk to us like this old. It's your cable.
It's the blue cord. If you said to me the blue cord, then I would have known it was the blue cord.
But it's only a blue cord.
But you didn't.
Didn't I give you those headphones?
Well, I think you loaned them to me, I'm going to keep them now.
No, you must keep them. I gave them to you because you were using, I don't know what you were using, it was something horrible that just had no, you couldn't even hear us one morning. And so you must keep those, but now you seem to have screwed up that cord as well. Well, maybe it's the cats.
Maybe I sat on it. I don't know.
It could be the cats, eh? You know that.
Well, you know, that's not even a joke.
Mm.
You know, the cat that died the most recently, the one I had to kill, she was a vomiter.
Yes.
And I couldn't set up my computer and mic and everything and headphones in the morning because she would sit on my table and purposefully vomit on the things on the table.
Oh, my God. That sounds so spiteful.
But now I can.
That is so spiteful.
Yeah, no, she was also very, very loud about it. She wasn't quiet. She didn't clutch her pearls and just vomit quietly. She made a scene.
No, but cats can't vomit quietly, can they? They go, they make a huge fuss.
No, they go, waka, 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 bleh.
All right, so we were just talking about the load shedding, Leanne, because we think that might have something
to do
with it. So I just want to show you. I want to show you a funny thing someone sent me yesterday about this load shedding, which just made me think. You know, there's so many people who are making a plan with suppers and things, especially mums and dads who are cooking for their kids. And you know, you can't plan too far ahead because you think you're going to have people around for dinner, and then there's load shedding, and you have to give them. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I have to find a packet of, this is fish and chips load shedding style. it's got three of those three of those marshmallow fish and like a whole lot of potato chips
crisps.
Crisps. That's so good. And then I saw this public service warning on a piece of equipment in a shopping mall, and I thought that's really good advice. And Gord would have loved this one. I sent it to him immediately. But it's like written on there, say perhaps to drugs.
just maybe.
Just say, know? Yeah, say perhaps.
A hard, be open, guys.
A hard perhaps or a soft perhaps, yeah. Okay, so we're here on Monday, regardless of voting day. We're breaking our own rules just because we don't believe it's a public holiday. So why should we not do the show? But there won't be collectomania or any of that stuff. So it'll just be a fun show for Monday and hopefully not too much politicking. We don't want to talk too much about that either. Okay, so let's just talk quickly. Apparently, speaking of voting day, Uber are offering a discount on rides to and from voting stations on the 1st of November. They're really trying to get people there. Huh? Yeah, tell me.
I mean, like, are people just jumping on the bandwagon? I'm seeing it as a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. So if you have to be going to a voting station or coming from a voting station.
You can't be going to the bar or the pub. They're not going to take you to that.
You can go from the bar to the voting station and voting station back to bar. That's allowed.
Well,
that's fair.
But yeah,
it's not a bad plan.
It's like R35 off of fees, which is amazing.
That's great.
Okay.
All right. That's one little bit of information. So there's some advantage to going voting if you are thinking about it, that you can get a free ride there and back. Apparently also, have you guys at all spoken about this story? It's been in the news for a few days now. This Moti family, their four brothers that were kidnapped. Did you hear the story? I mean, I only saw bits of it on social media, and people were saying, you know, please return them. And then I heard from somebody yesterday that someone else was kidnapped in Mozambique. You know, there's a lot of this human ransoming, human trafficking, kidnapping stuff going on. And it seems to be happening with, you know, it always used to be with really rich people, kind of like a thing in South America, especially. That if you were
there's always like big company owners and
yes. And if you were from a rich family, your kids might be kidnapped at school. So these rich kids would have to go to school by helicopter, or they would have bodyguards with them the whole time. It's like a movie.
Yeah. But it's even going beyond that, because just yesterday I heard about a Durban family who were driving from Durban to Joburg. It was a woman, she's like 29, Sasha Naidu, her boyfriend, her aunt in her 50s, and her cousin.
Jesus.
They decided to travel to Joburg to surprise her mom, who had celebrated her birthday, her 56th birthday in Sandton.
Mm-hmm.
So they left home on Friday afternoon.
Right.
And then they passed through a toll in Villiers on the N3.
Right.
They were in a Toyota Hilux double cab, and they were pulled over by these three cops. They seemed to be cops, but they ended up being bogus. They had the blue flashing lights, they had the sirens, everything, the uniforms. They asked for the cousin's driver's license, and then when she reached for her handbag, the man put his hand inside the vehicle and unlocked the doors.
Oh my God.
They eventually took over the car. They started searching through the car, saying they were looking for drugs. They then grabbed the handbags and laptop bags and threw them out onto the road. So they weren't even interested really in what was in the bags. This is what gets me. I mean, what is the purpose here?
Did they steal a car?
They tied them up with cable ties.
Mm-hmm.
They shoved everyone into the back seat, got into the driver and passenger seats, and then two other men arrived and got into the back seat as well. So, I mean, I don't know how many people you can fit into a double cab, but now there are a lot of people in here.
Yeah.
They proceed to start driving for 5 hours. They pulled their face masks over their eyes. They started threatening them, saying things like, "Oh, you're the cheeky one, shut your mouth or I'll shoot you." They started assaulting there was only one male in these victims' car.
What the hell is this?
You think you're the macho one with three ladies. Then, weirdly enough, another car entered their vehicle.
Another car entered their vehicle?
Another car full of people. They swapped people in the car. All right. So another group entered the vehicle.
Okay.
Their voices were different, and they started threatening them again. They then threw jackets over their heads. They finally hit a gravel road, and they pulled everyone out and threw these people against a sandbank.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started searching the vehicle again. Apparently, they were trying to look for a vehicle tracking device. They were asking questions like, "Who does this vehicle belong to? If you go missing, who would look for you? What speed will your tracker pick you up if you're in trouble? How much do you pay for the vehicle and insurance per month? How much money do you have in your bank accounts?"
Yeah.
It's so weird. Then
horrible.
Coming from Joburg in the meanwhile, a family traveling from Joburg to Durban, another family of three, they were also stopped in the same way. And finally, these two vehicles met up. So they arrived next to the sandbank. The family was thrown out of the car as well.
So now there are just let me understand, because this is very complicated. Now there are two families of people, or there are two groups of people who've been swapped in vehicles, and all kinds of weird stuff's happening. They can't see what's going on. They're being shouted at. They're being abused. They're being asked questions about their tracker. It sounds like these people are professional crooks. But what happens now?
So eventually one of the tracking devices on the cars, the tracking company phones them. So they were told to comply, put the phone onto speaker.
Yeah.
And they had to tell the tracking company that please ignore any calls that you get. It's probably spam calls. We're fine. We're all fine. And then they hung up. All of a sudden, the second family, which had two tracking devices on their vehicle.
Good Lord.
One of them belonging to Tracker Connect, and this Yaku Khrobala from Tracker Connect had received the signal.
Yeah.
He arrived on the scene rushed in.
Yeah.
One guy. And these men all scattered because they'd now been discovered. So this Yaku saved the day.
But
without even...
All right, now I've got a lot of questions. I mean, first of all,
you've so many.
You told that story like you had dyslexia and you were...
Well, I was trying to piece it all together. No, it's such a weird story.
You told that story so badly. You were like an aunt. Erratic. You were like a drunk aunt at a Christmas brunch who's like... And then this car came and then... there's other car and people got out... Now, you know, I don't know what happened, actually. I have just also...
Do you remember my friend Gwendolyn?
Yeah.
Do you remember my... Gwendolyn, when I was six, we'd swap shoes in the sand.
Jesus, Leanne. You know...
Tell a story, yeah.
If you were the witness in a court case and you told the story that way, that the judge would just call it to close. He'd say, you know what, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
You try and decipher this story. It's a huge piece of journalism.
People... I mean, Cabello says, "Are you drunk, ass?" Because that made no sense.
Oh, come on.
Drunk on water.
On end of month water.
Johan says, "If they kidnapped my family, I would pay them to keep the fuckers."
Oh, God. So this is happening, guys. This Jitesh, is like weird shit that's Jitesh, happening on our
roads. Jitesh says, Leanne is on the bottle early.
In my wildest dreams, Jitesh.
Are you going to at least drink this weekend? Because it seems to me like maybe you're starving your brain of alcohol and it's so used to running on it.
It's not payday yet.
No, okay.
You know?
But it is this weekend, though, isn't it? Should be payday.
Well, 31st is a Sunday, so if we start, I can maybe start drinking on Monday.
Oh, right. You get paid on the very last day. I got you. Like most people, if the payday is on a weekend, they get paid the Friday before. So for many of us, it is payday today.
No.
All right.
And some corporates get paid on something like the 23rd or something.
You were like that story you just told. You seemed like you were one of those gifted or autistic or like, non-communicative children talking for the first time. You made no sense at all. Jesus.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, but sure. Either way, so there's this one Yaku dude. See, this is why I'm telling you people, we've got to be appreciative of these hardcore Dutchmen we have in our country.
Yeah.
There are a few of them who you need in a crisis, trust me. It's like those guys who, first of all, taxi drivers, look how they came to the rescue during those riots and lootings that happened in KZN. Look at how those taxi drivers stood up.
Remember the cash in transit van?
Yeah.
With the guy who drove like a star.
There we go. Him. What was his name? Leon Pretorius. So you need people like Yaku, like Leon, and like taxi drivers, and then also Karens. We've discovered they're also quite useful, and they're the ones who we're going to rely on most heavily during these elections, because many of the Karens are standing as ward councillors. So let's just be appreciative of the fact that we do live in this incredible country where there are people who, while they may irritate you socially sometime, like a Karen, they perform a very useful service. And on that note, I'd like Leanne to try and tell us another story without getting us confused like she did the last time. You sent me two screenshots of your neighborhood group.
Oh, Lord.
So this is something she's going to
try. My WhatsApp group.
Yeah, so she's on a WhatsApp group for her local neighborhood, like most of us are. These things have sprung up, and they're very useful, don't get me wrong. But if you put on notifications for them, you'll be busy all day. And it's mostly bullshit. It's mostly busybodies who have my cat went missing at 23 hours, 5 minutes last night, and I'm still...
Please lock up your cats at night. I saw one in my garden.
All right, so...
What?
Bulelo, are you on any of those? Because I resisted for the longest time, but now I'm... Unfortunately, since lockdown, it's been necessary for me to know what my neighbors are up to and to kind of be part of the community. So now I'm in, whether I like it or not. And luckily, ours isn't so busy, right? But Leanne, yours looks like it's really busy all the time.
So, like, out of the blue, we've got Eskom stuff and load shedding stuff and all the rest
that
of it.
That makes sense, sure.
Out of the blue at 9:08. Loud bass thumping noise, full stop.
Yeah.
Is this another street party? Now, this group is for the avenue that I live in.
Yeah.
And the avenue is really long. It spans from the start of the suburb to the end of the suburb.
Yeah.
So I said, please share your location. Second Avenue is long. So they go between Main Road and Third Street. And then someone else pipes in. Jill says, I heard something briefly. Can't hear it now.
My God.
Then the original complainer says, still going on. Can hear the thumping bass. Jill then says, must be closer to Maine. I'm not getting really irritated by this.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I mean, so I go, perhaps share with your direct neighbors. We are streets away.
Yeah.
Jill says, I'm at 44, just a few houses from Duncan. So I eventually send a screenshot of my location and I go, that's great, but I'm here. Duncan says, sounds like it's some distance away. Would guess 4th Avenue. Jill says, I can hear it outside.
Now they're all climbing in here. They've got nothing to do.
Yeah, yeah. What is happening here?
So I eventually say, if it's disturbing your sleep or impacting on your health in some way, then it's worth reporting. If it's just kids having fun on a Thursday night, then consider that we live in an area bordering on a university lifestyle and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, somebody else with sense steps in and Giovanna says, we didn't purchase in a retirement village after all.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
but this is what you
I
have
just
to put
can't.
Up with. So, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've got to get off of any group like that immediately. If you put me on a group like that, I'm gone. And especially these ones now, I don't know if you've seen, but when there's a, I'm going to a nappy braai on Saturday, or a nappy party for a friend of mine.
The men's baby shower.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to that on Saturday. This has been the best one because minimal communication. Like, this is where it's happening. This is the time. This is what you must bring. That's it. It's easy. That was the first message. And then everybody's on the group. But it didn't become like a discussion group where we all like, yo, are you coming, asshole? And that kind of thing. Yeah. So none of that started. But I've been on one or two of these before, where it's been a nightmare. Like, people start talking, then they start, you know, posting funny memes and jokes and sending each other pictures. And I'm like, guys, you know, we're going to be at this thing in a couple of days' time, and then this group is going to be dissolved. Like, find other things to amuse you. Do you think people are bored?
But there's groups for that. The lads groups, great. Keep it there. Like, if it's an event thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So my mom says to me the other day, she seems quite like disgusted by the idea. She says, I was added to a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And it's called the Farm Girls.
Oh, Jesus.
So I then remember she grew up in the Free State, so it's all her old school friends.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because the areas, the villages were so small there that the schools were bilingual. Mm-hmm. So they just had to group everyone together who could speak any language.
Right.
And so the Afrikaans ones only speak in Afrikaans in the group,
mm-hmm.
and the English ones in English. But everybody shares photographs of their flowers, like their gardens.
Their flowers.
My mom's scrolling through. She's going, oh, fucking roses. Oh, more fucking flowers. And then she goes, oh, shame. Brimilda's husband is dead. And then, so I grab the phone from her and I look. And they're actually photographs of, like, their husband's ailments. Like, the one is covered in sores and flea bites and things.
What?
Like, it's so bad. When I handed it to my brother, he said, was there no trigger warning? Like, did you not tell me that I was going to be looking at oozing sores?
No.
No, it's... Listen, no, I'm out of the WhatsApp group mix. That ain't going to work for me.
Fortunately, I don't have
load shedding in my complex. Yeah. So I'm on one with... So, with our security company for our particular complex, they've set up a WhatsApp group just for any comms, technical things, whatever. If we have something to report, it's the only group. Yeah, but the rest, I'm out. Get out of here. What? No way.
I have FOMO, so that's why I stay.
Yeah, you need to stay on them, but that's also a girl thing. Like, guys, we get too much information fatigue. Like, we want the basics, and we don't want too much info. It is my experience, and I may be horribly wrong here, but that women can never have too much information. You always, you'd like to have the maximum and then decide for yourself how much you'd like of that. But if you find out that you've been left out of some info, it really bothers you.
Yeah.
Generally, as women, it's not true for every woman. Temba, by the way, has an idea of what the thumping noise was. Temba says, Leanne's neighbors are having sex like crazy. That's what that loud thumping noise is. It's the headboard. It's the headboard
like
of the
totally,
next
door. Yeah. Totally foreign to older people.
Doom, 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 doom. That's what's going on there.
Awesome.
It's a bit of hardcore sex. All right. So lots and lots of people on the comments this morning. Thank you for joining us. If you're new this week because of the controversies that we had last week, I'm thrilled to welcome you. And this Friday, Friday's a sort of no politics Friday, so that's kind of where we're going this morning. Lots of interesting things to get to in a moment or two. I'll show you a few interesting things I got on my not WhatsApp groups, but that I got from some people yesterday that I thought were quite funny. And please, Leanne, someone says, please don't share. This is Jasmine. She says, don't share the bed sore pictures. Those we can do without. Ugh. That is so gross.
It was a fungus of some sort, I think.
Oh.
Just like
you know what TMI,
spare me the details.
I don't know this. I don't know this person. I don't want to know what they're going for, if they died from this or not. It's just not it. Like, you see, this is again too much information as opposed to too little. All right,
we file the stuff and use it for later.
Yeah, because I don't know whether, like, you know, this is what women do, and it is a woman versus man thing. This most I don't know a lot of men who could care less about their you know, someone's ailments. They don't even talk about our own ailments. Certainly not at this age, but I mean, there may be a time when that happens. Okay, so ABBA is going to come back and then retire again. This is very exciting stuff. They are going to...
Did they do that already?
No. They've got their This Is It comeback album, right? Or whatever it's called. I think it's... anyway. So there's Benny, Bjorn, Agneta, and Annefrid. And they will bow out following the release of their upcoming album, which is called Voyage, which features their new music in almost the first new music in almost 40 years. Benny told the Guardian newspaper, "I never said myself that ABBA was never going to happen again, but I can tell you now, this is it." He added,
"It's almost this is all. It's almost like that guy used to rip off who said, please, no more autographs."
Yeah, yeah. It was Ringo. Ringo Starr.
One of the Beatles. Yes. Yeah.
Ringo Starr.
It's almost as if they never hung up their mics early enough and made a full retirement announcement.
No, they
did. And they're still so popular. So now they have to do it officially.
No, they did. And these guys people have been bothering them for the longest time saying, please, ABBA, get back together. And they've said no for forever. They're like not interested. And now suddenly, I think just because maybe they're bored or because it's certainly not because of public pressure. And these guys don't need the money either. They were offered $1 billion a couple of years ago to get together. $1 billion. And they said no. So they're really doing it on their own terms. And I kind of respect that. And even if you're not an ABBA fan, because there are people who just really don't like ABBA, you've got to admire the fact that this band is one of a handful of absolute classics who, when their music comes on, doesn't matter where in the world you live, you know who's singing. Mm. Here's the album cover. So that's Bjorn in the top left, Agneta next to him, and then Annefrid and Benny at the bottom. But they almost,
wait, is that them now?
Yeah, that's them now.
Yeah, you see, that's weird because I've seen photos of them now and there's some Photoshop going on there.
Maybe. I was going to say.
They don't look too bad.
Jeez, they've aged well.
Well, I met Benny and Bjorn when they were here for the opening of Mamma Mia. You know, they write musicals and things as well. They wrote Chess. They wrote Mamma Mia. A couple others, but they're really, really nice people. They're proper Scandinavians, and Bulelo, you know, you've had Scandinavian girlfriends. They're very friendly, very lovely people, and just good entertainers. I mean, you know, these are gracious people who've got everything done that you could possibly wish to do in a lifetime. I mean, they were all married to each other. Benny was married to Annefrid, and Bjorn was married to Agneta. So the ABBA was actually like a... It was a bit incestuous. It was a bit too close for comfort. And I think when they all broke up, because marriages do, some marriages, most marriages, I think they just didn't want anything to do with each other. They just had enough. And that was, you know, in the 80s. So good
Imagine
for them.
Working with your wife.
I know, every day.
Or husband. Like,
oh.
That sounds, yeah,
well,
imagine touring with your
how
wife.
How do those words go for Super Troop? I was sick and tired of everything. I saw you last night in Glasgow, something like that. Anyway,
like a small cry for help.
And then I don't know whether you guys have been following all the news on this Alec Baldwin situation, which we broke on the show yesterday. I think it was last Friday. But police will not rule out criminal charges against all the people involved here. Alec Baldwin, the props master, whoever it is. He's apparently the obviously the person number one in this situation who's being looked at, where charges are going to be filed, and whatever may happen to him, they're not ruling out these criminal charges. He shot dead cinematographer Halina Hutchins and wounded director Joel Souza on the set of The Western Rust last week. Police have confirmed.
So here's the latest conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay, let's go.
So Halina Hutchinson was her next project was going to be a film which apparently was very controversial.
Oh yeah.
And busted a child pornography ring within Hollywood.
Oh my God.
So people are posting this and going, just saying.
Well,
like,
okay, I mean,
could this have been planned?
Can I tell you something about conspiracy theories? Is the more they try to stop us from talking about conspiracy theories, the more we want to talk about conspiracy theories. And
how do we get to that one, though?
That's
Alec
insane.
Baldwin is now going to be caught up in kiddie porn. Like,
or someone in Hollywood handed him a gun without him knowing because they were going to probably
Have to have a hell of a...
wow.
You know, the possible potential outcomes of that might not have happened.
I know. It's a far stretch.
It's a real stretch, this one. But Ben would buy it because Ben thinks that all of Hollywood is a big child porn ring. You know, Ben reckons that the whole of Hollywood are just pedophiles. His words, not mine. So, when he's back next week, we'll ask him about that. By the way, I'm not here next Friday or the following 2 or 3 days because I'm doing this. I'm going away for this wedding and little mini moon with these friends of mine. So you're gonna have to manage with the rest of the team, but they'll do very well. And that was a plan I had long ago. So it's been in the diary, right, Mbulelo? You know this.
No conspiracy theories around this.
I'm not going to bail out Alec Baldwin, I can promise.
Well, I'm not going to shoot Simpiwe so that you have to be here. God.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Because, yeah.
But you...
no, don't worry about it.
Aren't you going away again at some point this year as well? Before the end
of the year? Yeah, I'm in Etequini this weekend.
Nice, okay. That's very good. Etequini.
And then a couple of weeks away, I'll be back in Cape Town.
Is that because that's the place you're allowed to vote? In Etequini?
No. Actually, I just want to transition and go and pit stop with Jacob Zuma. Should I ever shoot anybody like Alec Baldwin?
Good.
What's my legal route out? Yes. What do I say?
What
illness do I claim? Et cetera.
And if there's any man who can help you with that, it's him. Right.
Mm. Maybe get a tuck shop as well. Get a tuck shop out of it. Go, hey, how did you build this tuck shop here? Who's running it? What are the accounts?
Can I just ask, like, with all of this that's been going on with Jacob Zuma, have we completely forgotten, because she's not first lady anymore, what Makumalo is up to? Because we used to follow her very closely. Remember, even when we started Cliff Central, we were kind of obsessed with Makumalo, his first wife, right? Now, she runs the tuck shop, apparently, and
she's the one who feeds the chickens.
The chickens and all that shit. But it's me. Like, no one's paid any attention to her since he hasn't been president. And I feel that just shows you how the media are full of shit and they actually don't care about anyone except themselves. Because Makumalo is still of great interest to me, but I don't see any coverage about her. And I feel that this is typical. This is the hypocrisy of the media. So I'm just saying, I would like more information on Makumalo. And screw you, actually, for, you know, you in the mainstream media, for your lack of investigative journalism into this woman who was once the most important woman in South Africa. And we took a great interest, and now you're not feeding the beast. So screw you.
Yeah.
You know, tell us what's going on with Makumalo. How dare you? All right. Other news. Let me just see what other headlines are important here. You see, I don't know anything about Squid Games, so I'm not going to even talk about this because I don't know anything about it, and it's not going to help. I'll sound like Leanne.
We want to know.
No, but I'll sound like you did with that story about the hijacking and the kidnapping earlier. It won't make any sense.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm still trying to piece that story together. Leanne was telling.
Leanne, you
just like, yeah.
It's like you just woke up and we were like shaking you awake and you were like, well, you're people with the... the other people.
It was such a confusing story.
Yeah.
I was actually making sense of the words that were in front of my eyes because they were even more jumbled.
Remember when Marlena was possessed on Days of Our Lives? it sounded a little bit like I wanted to just get a Bible and say,
Exactly.
The power of Christ compels you. It was very confusing.
Yeah. Most confusing story ever.
I'm not doing the Squid Games one because I'll sound like you then. So leave that one out. In any case, I don't care about this Squid Games thing. I don't actually care about a lot of the things that are trending. So forgive me if I don't touch on them in the show. If you know how to tell the story, then join us by all means. We'd like to have you on. Okay, Bernard says, Gareth, are you guys looking into getting the video of the podcast to Spotify, similar to the Joe Rogan experience? Well, funnily enough, we've been talking to Spotify. But you know what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put together in my head now this idea, because we got such an overwhelmingly positive response from people when I asked on Wednesday, would you be prepared to pay a subscription to insulate us from, you know, the cancel culture and that kind of thing? Because I do believe in South Africa, we've got to fight back against this stuff. And you'll be surprised at how many really powerful and influential people I've been in conversation with in the last few days, not because these are my friends and I'm connected, but because so many people in this country are quietly willing to support financially anything that stops this, because they know. I mean, a lot of really, you know, connected business people in this country have started to realize that this cancel culture will eventually come for them and their businesses. It's eventually going to come for everybody. And they're like, you know what? We'll fund whatever it is. So I'm trying to put together in my head now, whether it's the small funders in terms of, you know, everybody who listens to this show paying a subscription of, let's say, 20 Rand a month or something small like that. And then we allow people to, you know, up that if they want to, you know, claim that they're giving us more money or whatever. And if you don't want people to know that you're giving us money, that should be a way to do it as well. Mm. But for us to use that to provide better quality programming, to provide more stuff, to be able to fund bringing on more voices, more diversity, more interesting points of view, the stuff that you're not going to get from the mainstream, because that's really what's missing in this country at the moment. There are not a lot of people who are willing to stand up and say things that are unpopular on social media. So I want to go straight for the jugular on this. And then when we do that stuff, they can't cancel us because they don't know who our sponsors are. So
yeah,
I'm feeling like that's a good way.
I mean, my great storytelling is an exclusive.
Well, I mean, look at that.
Off the bat.
Who's not going to pay?
You could actually have three different platforms for that. It would make sense on every platform because it's just all over the place. You can play snippets 3 years apart of your stories.
Achterini Hawk says, I want to join this show. I have a lacquer idea for colored rap music. Okay, well, that's not really what I was talking about, but all right, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So
Jared, anything goes.
Jared says you already have the tools right in front of you. YouTube streaming allows you to get money from those who wish to contribute. Use the tools you have. I agree. And we will start doing that, but I'm not going to, you know, suddenly drop it on you. I'm going to put this together in a proper plan and we'll sort it out. Don't you worry. Martin says, I will subscribe as long as this show is not turning into a Ronaldo host who keeps on pushing for super something or shit like that. What is that?
A super chat. Ronaldo. Yeah, so it's a YouTube function.
Oh, yeah? Tell us.
Yeah, so it's a YouTube function. So let's say you want your chat to be prioritized so that I see it as the, you know, let's say
on
now,
your feed.
Like whoever. I don't know. I don't have the comments in front of me, but let's say Leanne wanted her comment to be the one that comes up. She would pay 10 Rand and then her comment would be prioritized and boom, everyone would see it.
You know? I'm not keen on that.
You get 10 bucks or whatever.
No, I'm not keen on that because then you know, someone's going to pay to have their comments come up the whole time on our show. That'll be ridiculous. All right. So I know Ronaldo listens to the show, so maybe he can tell us. He sometimes joins in here. All right. So thanks, guys. I mean, listen, I just got to say from the bottom of my heart, from the very start of this Cliff Central experience, our audience has been the best thing about it, the best thing by New York mile. So, you know, whatever we do, we're going to do in consultation with you. And it might not cost you a thing. It might cost you a little bit. It might be something voluntary. We'll figure it out. But that's all coming. I need to build this Chinese firewall between us and the craziness of Twitter, because that's not the real world. And it when it gets in the way of the real world, it does impact negatively on the business and also on what we're allowed to do and what we're able to get to you. So don't worry. We've got plans. I'm not going to back down. This is by no means a victory over us for the cancel culture. It's maybe a victory over poor old Nando's, but it's not our problem. All right. Lots of other stuff still to come. We have your comments to get to on YouTube. You can also send us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com or contact@cliffcentral.com. All of that on the way. I just want to go to something Bulelo's been bringing up. If you follow him on social media, he posts these extremely vain tweets and Instagram posts where he talks about himself as a sex god and how sexy he is and
symbol, please.
Where he's running. No, like it's almost like you're advertising. It's almost like you're planning to start an OnlyFans or something, the way you talk on social media, because he's always like, this is the route I've just run. You know how fit and sexy I am. If you want to meet with me, this is the corner you can get me at 9:15. But don't worry, I'll be at the next corner at 10 because I run so fast. I'm so fit, blah, blah, blah. Is this the thing? Is this you actually looking for a date? What's going on?
No. I mean, once you are in the shape I'm in now, you got to, can't be afraid to kind of flex on him. And if I'm in sex symbol shape,
he's fishing for compliments from himself. So he's hoping that Mbulelo comments and goes, "Oh, I'm in awe of you, guy. Keep it up."
Well, it's nice to walk past the mirror every now and then and go, "Yeah, you do look as good as you think you do."
Right.
Yeah, you're bloody right. You look unbelievable. Look at you. So I just do it for myself. It's really about me. I wish I was the only one who could follow me on social media. You know what I mean? Like on Strava, I wish there was a way where I could follow myself so that my whole feed was just me over and over.
So a huge amount of narcissism here. Huge.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
So it's going to happen. You get a six pack, you're going to fall in love with yourself.
I think I could, but I doubt I'll ever get a six pack. I mean, I could try to get close to lowering my body fat by half. That I could do, but to actually be obsessed with myself the way you are, and I think that's very unhealthy.
Hey, what you gonna do? You know, everything comes out of place.
Lord.
Yeah.
And being a sex symbol, I just want to be very clear, is not for everybody. So also, you might think you want to join the sex symbol club, but it's not for everyone.
Mbulelo, you're ahead of us on this curve, so I'm going to let you occupy the territory. Yeah. You go for it. I do occasionally receive messages from people who say that they think they saw you on this and that road running at God knows what time over a weekend. I go, yeah, it's probably him. Was he completely self-contained and disinterested in the rest of humanity? And they, yeah. And I go, no, that's him. That's definitely.
You know that we're going to expect you to do the show without your top on.
No, oh, God, no.
At some point.
There's no need.
No. I do it for myself.
No,
I do it for myself, Leanne. So I go home and,
But how are we ever going to believe that you do have a six pack?
No, you don't need to. Just believe him. Trust me.
No.
Just believe him.
Yeah, you got to believe. Yeah, you have to. Tell you what, I'm running 100Ks soon. Well, what happens then,
Carol? Carol Deering is saying, "Mbulelo, I can only see your head and shoulders. Stand up, let's see."
Oh my God, no.
That's what's going to start happening.
No, we're not going to do this. Sorry, we're not. No, so no. We're not turning this into Magic Mike. This is a professional show. All right, my dad is on his own at the moment because my mom has gone down to Cape Town to visit her sister. So first of all,
she'd finally left him.
Finally.
So she, it's the first, but this is, okay, so married couples, like my parents have been married for years, right? A long time.
Yeah.
I don't think my mom has ever traveled on her own. Certainly not since they've been married. So for her, it was like, oh, she's going all on her own to Cape Town to see her sister, right? I know that, you know, lots of people are, independence is very important. But I thought about it, and she was probably really nervous because the first time she's traveled without him for the longest time, or without a friend or whatever. And then I went over to my dad last night just for supper because sneakily I suspected that he might not be able to feed himself because he doesn't know how to do that. You know, he also hasn't been on his own for ages. But obviously he was fine, and he even made supper for me, so I thought that was quite good work. But it's so funny when you kind of observe your parents from the point of view of not just expecting them to do things parents have always done, and when you see that they've just had to shift a little bit out of their comfort zone and how different that makes things. It was really funny.
Well, yeah, for me it was that whole outlook was huge for me because of my mom having a stroke and my dad having to now cook. I mean, I remember moving up from Cape Town back to Joburg and flying four pets over, moving a house load of furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, that operation was a 2-day operation and it involved my mom and my brother helping me.
It was Operation Bring Leanne Home.
it was huge. And my brother had written out this itinerary of who was responsible for what, the flight numbers, everything. And my dad's line of responsibility said, "Anton, feed yourself and keep yourself amused." Yeah. That was it.
That was it.
And when we got back after like a 24-hour trip, we got to my parents' house and my dad said, "What's for supper?"
Yeah, as soon as you were there.
So from that, he's been to cooking classes.
Oh, wow.
He makes all sorts of dinners.
Okay. Like,
anything that you can imagine, he now cooks. He's in charge of getting the groceries. And also in the beginning, I was making double of whatever I was cooking and would send it over his way. And then he started doing that for me.
That's amazing.
It was just amazing seeing that change.
It doesn't matter how old you are, you have to learn new things. And I thought about it last night that, you know, my parents probably think of me the way I thought of my dad last night. That, oh, this guy's, I hope he can look after himself, because I live on my own and I cook for myself and I kind of sort myself out for meals and things. And it's not an issue. I don't think about it at all. But they probably think, oh, you know, he's probably starving right now. I hope he's fed the dog. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But having said what you're saying there, and that's very true about parents, but one thing your dad cannot afford to fall into is ever make it look to your mom like he didn't miss her. One thing I've learned in my life about ladies is you have to pretend, because what they don't know is actually when you close that door, whoo, boy, oh boy, thank God his pants are off and he is living his best life. But you have to pretend to the lady. You have to, oh my God, without
you so much.
Half, yeah.
I don't know how you cooked for all these years. I don't know how you did this.
So your dad cannot afford to let it slip.
This is hilarious.
That he's missing your mom. It's unbearable.
There are a lot of these people who are they really are like old school. Robin says her dad only set foot in a shop for the first time 2 years ago.
What?
Because he doesn't know how to shop.
Because that was a woman's work.
Yeah, she would do all the shopping.
His wife does it, eh?
All of it.
What a legend. What? I'd give anything to have that service.
Well,
like
Elon,
you must know exactly what I want. That's perfect.
Elon is God says, I'm 26 years old. I've never seen my dad cooking or doing the dishes. I don't even think he knows how to use the oven. If his wife dies, he's fucked. Yeah.
You see, we were talking about change, and really the biggest amount of change happens when you're older. There has to be this realignment of priorities, and you have to even make big moves, like moving from the family home that you've had for years into other accommodation. One of you gets sick and the other has to take over the duties. Things change in a huge way when you get older.
You know, as you guys are saying this, it's really interesting. Jane, who's now, of course, beloved by one and all everywhere, who works with us.
Jane Malachi.
Yes, the one and only Jane Malachi, who says, "Intiro ya bola bola." You know, her thing is, she says to me, whatever woman is going to marry you is going to have a nightmare. But what you guys are saying actually makes sense why she's saying that now, because I'm so fiercely independent, you know, like I like my coffee. I like my things. And she always comes up to me. She says, "Wena, the woman you get, it's going to be a nightmare for her, because I don't want anyone doing anything for me, you know?"
Yeah.
But now, as you guys are speaking, I see what she's saying.
Yeah.
So why is Jane?
Jane has wisdom. Jane? There's a lot of wisdom there. Have to go, Gareth.
Very much so.
Over the years, this is Martine. She says, I have to go, Gareth. Over the years, you've been misunderstood and you kept going strong. You're a legend. Keep going. Well, thanks, Martine. You know, I can pretend I don't like to hear those things and I don't need them, but I do. So thank you. Justin says, my dad was a cook in the army. Thinking back to it is weird to see my mom cooking.
Oh, wow. Don't you remember Damon was a chef in the army?
Yeah, but he was a kosher chef, and he said some Cubans broke into the kosher kitchen, and that was the only time he actually had to fight. But I mean, I got a message from someone yesterday, someone who listens to the show. Let me just read this quickly. It's so hilarious. Because I know it's going to get back to Damon anyway. So it's someone who listens to the show. I think it's Nicole or something. Says to me out of the blue, hey, Gareth, Damon's podcast is really moronic, especially his Twitter. He would rather attack me, blah, 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 blah. So I eventually unfollowed him and I don't listen to him anymore. Good riddance to him. I'm eager to yell at him. I told you so. So I just replied to this, Nicole. I said, he's a moron. I told you that 14 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, you know, just listen to me. You'll save yourself a lot of time and trouble. We do have to get him back on the show, though, at some point. It would be fun to have him on. Mm. My dad, Quentin says, it's weird for me. My dad passed away. My mother cooked for him and three children for years. And after he died, she never cooks and she never has anything in her fridge. Yeah, that's lazy.
Yeah, a woman reaches her limit, boy.
But I love her for that. That's good communication to you, Quentin, is the only person who ever mattered is gone. You bastards need to get out and look after yourselves. She's letting you know.
Yeah.
It's true.
I kind of like that. Good for her. Yeah. Good for mom.
Oh, that's good. Kevin says, Kevin's corner, he says, I have to say, I haven't watched this show ever. I used to listen to Gareth and Leanne when they were back on 5FM growing up. I came to this channel after the heat last weekend. I'm here to stay. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Well, Kevin, you're very welcome. Ah. It's nice to have you on board. So I suppose there is a silver lining to every cloud, right? This is what we're learning. So welcome. Yeah. Welcome, dude. Nice to have you on. All right. We've got 7 o'clock now. We're going to be back in a moment or two. We've got lots more to come. And among other things, we're going to be joined by Jesse Clegg and the other Clegg brother. I'm extremely happy about this because, yes. In fact, I don't know if they're going to be with us this morning or not, but we are talking to them at some point because they've just put together a memoir and gathered a bunch of their dad's stuff and decided to share it with all of us, which I think is amazing. So we'll see if we've got them in the next half hour or so, because we weren't sure yesterday if there was confirmation. But if they're not on today, then they'll be on soon, the Clegg brothers, and find out from them what their plan is with all of this amazing material that their dad left behind. And, of course, he was a South African legend, you know, Johnny Clegg.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love him? All right. So many things to talk about. That's all coming up. CliffCentral.com on a Friday. Woohoo! The weekend is back.
CliffCentral.com.